Amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 for a message entitled, Be Faithful to the End. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We've been in this series on David, and of course, most of the time we've been in 1 and 2 Samuel, but the Chronicles are somewhat parallel in the way that the Gospels are to one another. They have a lot of the same stories as 1 and 2 Samuel's, and this part in Chronicles does a more detailed job with this issue, this time of David handing over the kingdom and making some charges to Solomon. Let me say thank you to the praise team for leading us in that wonderful worship and music this morning. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll be considering this chapter, but we'll probably just read the first 13 verses, and you can just remain seated for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word, 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he has said to me, It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the divisions of the priest and the Levites, for all the work, the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of the service in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for this challenge from your word today. This particular passage, dear Lord, that I believe has something to say to us about being faithful and finishing well and leaving a legacy and handing things off to the next generation and challenging people to know you through Jesus. And Lord, I just pray today that you give me the very words that you'd have me to say. I pray that your Spirit will work on hearts, Lord. Help us grow closer to you. Help us to grow in the way of faithfulness. And Lord, if there's any without Jesus as Lord, that they might be challenged to know you through Jesus. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, as David's life draws closer to the end, we see him here handing the kingdom over to Solomon and making provision for the Lord's work to continue. And I believe that God wants to challenge us in this way today, because many people might be faithful for a while, but God wants us to be faithful to the end. And David had a ton of challenges and oppositions in his life. Indeed, at some points, his own sin could have derailed him. But he provides an example of how we can deal with things biblically and keep serving God for today, even despite our own past. He shows us, I believe, how to finish well and how to be faithful to the end. Number one, be faithful in your life's calling. Be faithful in your life's calling. One thing we learn here is that David was a man of war, where Solomon was a man of peace, and therefore to be the builder of the temple. But we need to understand that God really used both of these. Both of these were needed. Before David straightened it out, friend, the land of Israel was in more chaos than it had ever been in since the days of Joshua. Even Jerusalem in David's day ended up in the hand of the Philistines until he and the mighty men conquered that back. So the kingdom was very divided. It was so divided that the first 7 years David was king, he was only king over one tribe, the tribe of Judah. He had to be part of straightening that out militarily and getting all of those tribes back, so that his last 33 years of reign, he was truly king over all of Israel. So what I want you to see is God needed a strong warrior and king who could unify the country and steer that country towards the true and living God. And that's exactly what David did with the years that he had. So if David were not faithful being a warrior, then Solomon would never have been in a position to have peace and build this temple in the way that God intended. So David was good at what he did, and he also truly leaned on God so that he could do it well. And we certainly need to make note of that. When it came to fighting Goliath, David said to him, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," he said, "the Lord will deliver you into my hands." In one of the Psalms, David said, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hand to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." So God had a calling on David's life to be a warrior, and he did it well, and he did it with God's help and in God's name. And certainly having that main calling on your life is something you need to discern. What has God cut you out to do and gave you a calling and giftedness to do? And even having a main calling on your life does not mean that's the only way that you serve God either. For example, David was a great musician. He wrote some of the songs that we're still singing today, and many of the psalms that are in the Word of God, some of them pivotal that we're going to consider pretty soon. But I want to ask you today, have you discovered your life's calling? Are you nurturing it and being good at it and seeking to do it in God's power? Maybe it is teaching or music. Maybe it's being a nurse. Maybe it's in the way of accounting or retail. Maybe God's called you to ministry or missions, and maybe he's given you a servant heart to do some things in the background. I'm just asking you, have you figured that out, and are you doing it in God's power? Find out whatever it is and consecrate it to him. The story is told of an 11th century German king, Henry III, who grew tired of the court life, if you will, and he just got tired of being king. And so he decided to go to a monastery one day and turn himself in to live a life of contemplation. But the religious superior there, Prior Richard, is reported to have said, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge you're about to take here is one of obedience, and that'll be hard for you because you've been a king?" Henry replied, "I understand. The rest of my life I'll be obedient to you as Christ leads you." "Then I tell you what do," said Prior Richard. "Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has placed you." And King Henry went back and did that, and there was a statement written when he died, the king learned to rule by being obedient. And I think that's important for us, friend. Some people, even if they don't start out that way, a point seems to come along where David's want to be Solomon's and Solomon's want to be David's. Sometimes we struggle fulfilling that thing that God called us to, or we might desire to have a different gift in our life. For a short time, David was that way. In this passage, he said, I wanted to build the temple. But God didn't want me to build the temple. And David was obedient to that, and he went back to being David and being David well. So find out what your life's calling is and consecrate it to God and do it well. Be faithful in your life's calling. Number two, be faithful in regard to Jesus. Now, David certainly knew about a Messiah, but he probably didn't know here how prophetic and significant was his link to Judah, especially in verse 4. He said, however, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And think of how significant that is towards the person of Jesus being from the tribe of Judah. Old Jacob said from his deathbed, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Hebrews 7 verse 14 says, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah. And then that angel of Gabriel prophesied to Mary one day, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Friend, Jesus is going to reign forever, amen? And I tell you, in the providence of God, he came from the line of David, who came from the line of Judah. It tells us that the things that David did in solidifying the kingdom and preparing the way for the temple had some eternal implications, and they had to do specifically with Jesus. Even the Ark of the Covenant that David was so earnest to build a house for and get it in a more permanent place, and all the furnishings and tapestry of the temple, and especially the altar and the sacrifices on it, all of those things pointed to Jesus, friend. Because at the end of the day, only the blood of Jesus can really take away our sins. But God did ordain those things of old to point towards Jesus. And especially the book of Hebrews makes very clear that's exactly what these Old Testament things did. They pointed the way to Jesus. So let me ask you, dear friend, how faithful are you in regard to Jesus? Because all of us are leaving a legacy, and it could be a bad one. Or it could be a good one, but another tragic possibility is for you to be more faithful to things of the world and maybe even to your job, but not to Jesus. But I want you to know, friend, what matters most in the end is what you do with Jesus. Especially in regard to the way of salvation, but also how you live for Jesus is the most important thing in this world. And you shouldn't be faithful out of guilt either, because that's the wrong motive, and people that become faithful out of guilt, they fizzle out pretty soon. It's hard to follow God if you're not really motivated by His Spirit and the calling that He's placed upon your life. Green asks, in the way of faithfulness, do you apply the same standards of faithfulness to your Christian activities you expect from other areas of your life? If your car starts once every three times, is it reliable? If you don't go to work once or twice a month, are you a loyal employee? If your refrigerator quits working for a day or two every now and then, would you say, well, at least it works most of the time? If you had a loan at the bank and you skip a couple of payments during the year, would you expect the bank to say 10 out of 12 ain't bad? Probably not, friend. We expect all those things to be faithful, don't we? And surely, friend, God expects us to be faithful in our life and in our service to Him. He expects us to be dependable. Be faithful in your life's calling. Be faithful in regard to Jesus. Third, be faithful in regard to your family. What David cares about at the end here is for Solomon to have faith in God. You know, I'm so thankful for this very chapter because it's the one where we see that the most clearly, although I believe there's other passages as well. But look at verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Friend, I'll tell you, this is very important. And it's words that echo words from the gospel. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. How many times are we told to seek, seek, seek? And if we seek, we're going to find the Lord because he wants to be found of you. But here's a passage that says in the Old Testament, but it being said to one's son is what's so important. Friend, what I want you to see is at the end, despite all of the wonderful and notable things that David has done, David is not caring about a name for himself. He's not wanting some monument to be erected and admired for decades to come about David. He wants his son to know God. And friend, that ought to be the legacy you and I seek. Do you want your children and grandchildren to know Jesus? Amen. For I tell you, that's a passion of David's heart right here. And I believe it should be the passion of every Christian. We ought to be praying for them, the ones that don't know Jesus. And praying for the ones that do to be faithful to him. And we certainly know that David had some weak spots and cracks in his armor, and many of those had to do in regard to his family. We've seen that in our study. But David moved past those mistakes, and he genuinely repented so that God still considered him a man after God's own heart. And so part of being faithful then is keeping a short list with God and being regular in prayer and regular at repentance. Dave Jackson told about a personal struggle with his household garbage that reminded him of this issue. He said, because there's no garbage pickup near our house, I'm forced to take garbage to a trash receptacle myself. What usually happens, he said, instead of taking the trash out every day, I allow the trash to pile up in the back of my truck. As a result, when I finally decide to drop it off in the bin, my truck is full of dirty, leaky, smelly trash. And not only that, even worse, some of the times it affects folks who are behind me because some of that stuff blows out on those cars behind me. It's embarrassing to me, but for them it's even dangerous. And he follows that up by saying, leaders and parents, if we allow unconfessed sin to build up in our lives, not only do our lives begin to stink, but it becomes dangerous to those that follow us. And friend, that is very true. Let me ask you, have you ever admitted you were wrong as David did those times that he blew it in life? Have you ever confessed that you're a sinner as David did in your life? Because friend, if you keep living like you're perfect and there's never a time that you need to admit your sin before God, it's going to be, you're at least being that kind of example to your children and your grandchildren. And that's not what God wants you to do. If they learn how to repent, what better way for them to learn it from their family members? Amen. Matriarchs and patriarchs ought to be showing that part of our faith to others. What really matters to you, friend, in regard to your family? Because one of the tragedies is that a lot of folks are doing their best to leave things like $1 million or two, but they may not leave their faith with their family. And that's indeed a tragedy. David Green, who really does have multiple millions, a founder of Hobby Lobby, a man of extreme wealth and wisdom, and yes, a dedicated Christian, said a legacy of true value is a legacy made of more than money. It's a legacy conceived in wisdom, nurtured in principle, and sustained by character. If we pass only money to the next generation, we lay a crushing load upon them. The inheritance of greater value is the sum of how we live and what we believe and the content of our dreams that carry us to success. This is what the next generation needs most of us, and it's what the next generation must prepare to hand off as well. And my, isn't that what David's doing right here, friend? You know, he could have got all these leaders together in Solomon and said, let me tell you all that I did and how you need to continue expanding the kingdom and how you need to build the military up and how you need to put more furnishings over in the king's house and build yourself up in this way, Solomon. And let me tell you where all the gold is so that you can keep it and put it in the vault and use it for yourself and spend a lot of years in pleasure and doing what you want to do. Praise God Almighty, that's not what David did, friend. He said, here's all the gold and silver, and I want you to use it to build a temple for the Lord God. He's saying, friend, most of all, let me have your attention, Solomon. I want you to know God that I know. Because I want Him to lead you, and I want you to have His mercy and grace. I want you to experience my God as your God. And friend, that's what we ought to want for the next generation. Even if they're not our personal children, don't you want that for the young folks around here and in this community and in this nation? Friend, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to be headed for eternity in hell instead of heaven. And the church ought to be the ones that lets them know about Jesus and that challenges them about Jesus. Be faithful in regard to your family. Fourth, be faithful in planning. Now, David did a lot of planning. And he did a lot of preparation, and he's a model for us in this, I think. One thing David planned for the temple. God didn't want him to be the builder, but that didn't keep him from making some preparation. And indeed, David is the one who God gave the plan for the temple. And he was now conveying that to Solomon and his men. He gathered all those construction men here, I believe, as part of those leaders. And even the Levites, the people who were going to be head of the worship when the temple got built. And he gave them instructions. And he got those instructions. One verse says, by the Spirit. And another verse that we didn't quite read says, by God's hand upon me. Friend, God revealed that plan to the man after his own heart, to David. But he just knew Solomon was the one he was going to give the wisdom to and the time of peace and the time so that he could be the builder of it. But, you know, do you have some spiritual vision or task that God would want you to hand off well? You know, Paul had a Timothy. He had a Titus. And Barnabas had a John Mark. We need somebody under our wing that we're taking along and helping to grow and imparting our gift and call to somebody that has a light calling upon their heart. Or even just in the ways of God in general, in the knowledge of the Word and stuff like that. And certainly part of that should be our own children. But what about in the context of the church? Do we have somebody under our wing, as it were, that we're helping, somebody younger usually, that we're working to hand off a giftedness and a spiritual task for them to do it well? That's what David is doing partially in this place. He's planned for the temple. And David prepared for things to go on without him. He got these leaders together, charged them to follow his son, and made some very solemn charges to his son Solomon. Basically, Solomon, if you follow the Lord, he'll guide you and preserve the kingdom. But if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. And most of all, David planned for eternity. Notice verse 20 that we didn't read initially. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful way for him to say, I want my God to be your God, and I want you to follow him. And he's going to be with you until you've finished everything that he intends for you to do. How many of you believe Satan can't touch us and nothing's going to happen until we finish what God wants us to do? I tell you, that's the word of the Lord. He's going to be with us until we've completed what he wants us to do. Now, he's the sovereign one who knows that. Certainly some lives are cut mighty short, even of believers sometimes. But friend, I believe God's will is going to be fulfilled in our lives while we're following Him until we have finished. And David knew now that his life was drawing to a close, but he's not worried for himself. The Lord is, he says, is my God. In one of the Psalms, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And in that Psalm, he declared, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, David's not worried about the fact that he's fixing to die. He's not worried about himself. He's worried about handing things off well. He's concerned about his son and those others in charge of the kingdom continuing to follow the Lord God Almighty. In fact, in that verse 20, it really says, Jehovah Elohim, my Elohim, will be with you. He'll not leave you nor forsake you until you've finished all of the work. And so, having that earnestness that we want to hand things off well is going to mean finishing well ourselves. Because if we're not working, if we're not walking close to the Lord in the end, how likely is the next generation in our church family, or the next generation in our own family, or those among our friends, how likely are they to listen to those parting words from us? So I think the challenge here from a passage like this today is for us to ask, what about you? What about you, friend? Is the Lord your shepherd, number one? Can you say to the next generation, I want you to know my God. I want you to know the Jesus I know, because I want you to have eternal life and abundant life and the Holy Spirit to guide your heart and life right now. Is the Lord your shepherd? And if He is, are you following Jesus truly as Lord of your life? And will you be faithful to the end and not just for a point in time or for a season in your life? Be faithful to the end. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for these challenges. I thank you, Lord, that we can look to David and a man with a lot of faithfulness through his life and yet a man with sin on his hands who blew it at points, and yet he showed us how to come back, how to repent of sin in our life, and therefore continue to be used of you. And Lord, he shows us here how to be faithful at the end. Lord, I just pray that you'd put that same passion in our heart today that was on David's heart, that our children, our grandchildren, next generation, that we would want more than anything else in our life that they know the Jesus that we know. Lord, I pray that you would give us that passion to want them to follow you faithfully. And Lord, we know part of that is for us to follow you faithfully, even to the end. Lord, help us end well. Help us end well. I pray that as we had this invitation time today, Lord, that any without Jesus truly as Lord, that they would come and say, I want to know that Jesus. I want to know the one who's going to be on the throne forever. I want to know the one who can train my hands for the calling that He's put on my life. Lord, surely you're touching some hearts in the way of faithfulness. You want us to draw closer to you, and some might want to come and pray even at the altar about things like that. But Lord, I pray that we'd see your glory even during this invitation time. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Let me invite you to stand just now. This is our time of response, your time to come say, Brother Greg, I do want to make that decision to follow Jesus, Lord, and gain eternal life, or anything else God wants you to do. You come right now as we sing.